You know, and if you ever get to hang out around us on off days, you'll find out that we are everything we say we are. It's not a church front. Those of you who've been to our house and spend the night, they know we don't stop touching each other. It's what we do. You going to edit that out? Okay. That me and my wife touch each other? I think it's okay that the world knows that we touch each other. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't think she is either. Listen, I ain't touching nobody else's wife. That's what you need to edit out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just really want to go forward with this part of the message with what we started with this morning, the pre-message type of thing. We're dealing with this area of rest. And I know this is supposed to be its decline, but we really should probably change this one to, you know, it's the rest or something, because that's what it's really become about. I never really got to the climb part like I want to. I got so caught up in the rest part. We don't have to change the rest of them, but we're gonna come up with something cool. We'll figure it out. We'll get together and we'll put our genius minds together and we'll come up with a 3-word title like we come up with. You know how we're doing. So here's what God showed me this week, and I talked about a little bit this morning. First of all, I don't want to put her on the spot, but I really want to thank God for my Esther. Really, because Esther's been a real source of encouragement to me. It's like there's times she tries to be spiritual and deep, and it's just like, okay, just please stop talking. But then there's times she just opens up her mouth and just says something that's from her heart, and it just like, ooh, you know, it's just a word for the season for my life. You know, and I was talking to her or pouring my heart out to her about me not really being mentored, that I mentor people. And God said to me a long time ago, I will be your mentor. And I was like, yay! And then as time went on, I was like, because, see, this is an honest moment, so you're just going to have to work with it. Like it or not like it, don't give me your self-righteous piety look. Because you ain't going straight to God a lot of times. You come to me a lot. So let's not, don't even get cute with it. Right? All right? Sometime I wish I had a me to go to. Somebody that, you know, say, you know, get the stick out. Stop acting like a baby. Get up off your behind and do what you got to do. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. And then give me a hug and comfort me. And say, it's all right, baby, when it's those kind of days. Sometime, I'm human. You know, I know you'll think I'm bulletproof and I can just take on all demons and just swing a slap and just, I'm dang. You know? But no, there's those days that I feel like I just want a hug. Can I just say that? Some days I just feel like I just want a hug. Sometimes I don't even want you to kind of counsel me or minister to me. Sometimes I just feel like I'm feeling a little something that day. And I don't want you to feel obligated to be deep and say something spiritual or quote a scripture. Just give me a hug and say, I got you. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. So I was talking to her about how I was feeling. And I was like, and I was going through what I would call a torn moment. Excuse me, camera. Yeah, that cold air blowing on me right now. And it's just, thank God for air conditioners. Hallelujah. But we're going to just slow it down a little bit. Amen. In Jesus' name. And I'm going through a real moment, now, Rachel, this is the kind of stuff you like. So you got to like really pay attention because you like this when I give this. So I'm giving this. All right. Here was my dilemma. I'm going to talk to Rachel. You ain't paying me no mind. Here's my dilemma, Rachel. I didn't want to feel like I was ungrateful for God being my mentor. I didn't want to feel like I was asking for an earthly king, but doggone it, there was a part of me that wanted to say that's what I want. Come on. can we have this real conversation? Thank you, God, for being my mentor, but I can't call you and get you on the line and you connect me with Joe Jones like that the way I think it should go. So I don't know what I want, but I want something. I don't know what I need, but I feel like I'm I want something. And so she said, I'm trying to think of something to say, but only one word keeps coming to me. Harvest time. I'm like, my book? And she said, no, you've sown that into so many people, why can't you reap that? You've been that for so many people, why can't you reap that? And so I said, Lord, I received that. And I know it started first with you because God gave you the revelation that, no, I don't need to find another manager. You've been there. You're my manager. That right after she speaks this word, I get this call from you asking me to be a part of this business with you. And God is saying, the harvest is coming in. You see, I'm bringing it to you from the left, from the right. Everybody is coming, and they're bringing it. Now, and I'm real honored by that. And I think I told you, but I'm telling you it again. Real honored. And you too, Mike. Because my first thing was, what's your husband say about that? You know, because you know, you give me a part of a business deal. She's like, oh, no, he was fine with it. I was like, well, of course I should have known that. You use my N-word. But but my point is, it was an honor to me. And when she explained to me why, it was even more of an honor. And I said, okay, but I'm still getting a grip on the value of what I give and what the return is on that value. Come on, I hear a lot of yeah, so everybody's speaking, right? I'm starting to come to the reality that, and you've heard me say this in messages before, that I don't see stuff that I can do easily as having a value or a worth. So I'm trying to get a grip on it. And God spoke this word to me, and I spoke it earlier this morning. God said to me, the most valuable commodity I've given you, you don't have respect for. And that's time. You waste a lot of time talking to a lot of people on the phone, spending a lot of time ministering and counseling and guiding people. They're not going to do a cotton picking thing with what you're telling them, and you know they're not. And he said, you can lose a car and get a car. You can, you know, you can lose money and get money. You can, you know, things, whatever. But you can't get time back. When time is gone, it's gone. And he said, so you don't value your time. You are now having people come to you saying, I want to pay you for what you distribute and what you give and what you've been given freely for years. So now I'm looking at it now when people call me, I'm like, okay, I'm not staying on the phone 4 hours with people. I'm just not doing that. That's my time. I can't get that back, especially when you're pushing 60. You know you ain't getting it back, all right? So I'm starting to look at how much time do I spend counseling people that will not be changed? How does this fit in with the message? Rest. You can't rest when you're giving so much of yourself emotionally to so many people, and when you give that much away emotionally, what are you left with? So I'm on a new understanding of rest in this season. That is this: God gave me time, and it's a limited amount. I mean, once we move on into eternal life, that's different. You won't need my time. You'll have all the time you want, either there or there, whichever place the person is going. But right here, the time you have is precious and is limited and should not be wasted. Let me give the scripture for it. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. Cast not your pearls among swine. We spend so much of our life in the disguise of ministry, throwing away our pearls. Well, I'm trying to change them. I'm trying to share the Lord with them. Did the Lord tell you to do that? No. Did you share with them? Yeah. Every time you share with them, are you sharing the same exact thing? Yeah. Is there any change at all? No. Then you're casting your pearls among swine. That's your rest. And so I realized that a lot of my time and my energy and frustration was being wasted on trying to convert situations or people that won't be converted. I got to be careful with business deals because I'll negotiate back and forth. And I learned through one deal with Esther, it was like, just be quiet, be still for a minute. Don't call, don't say nothing. Let's watch where it goes. And it worked all out perfectly, didn't it? And it was like, I learned from that. Like, you know, after a certain point, there's not even a sense of negotiating anymore. Just stop. I gave you my point of view. You gave me your point of view. You took a hard stand. I'm taking a calm stand. And I'm going to wait until you decide what you want to do with your stand. And when you come back with it, now I get this email from this guy talking about, okay, you win. Well, I didn't know we were playing a game, but I guess we were. Well, now I know going forward, then once I make my play, I'm not going to keep going back and forth. What does this have to do with everything? Think about everything I told you last week. Where are you? Where are you going? Where you go from here? You've been identified by God where you are. Now you have a plan. And all the things that come up to go against that plan are designed to distract you, frustrate you. Are you listening to me? And the ability to stop and say, I'm not going to wrestle with that because God said this. I'm not going to argue with you about that because God said this. And I'm going to let you argue with yourself. But I'm going to rest after I make the statement that God has given me to make. The reality of that, and then I'm going to get back into the scripture, but just take this. When God gave them to Joshua and Caleb the battle of Jericho, he gave them a real simple instruction. Walk around for how many days? And for 6 days to do what? Nope, it wasn't shout. Worship. 6 days, put the choir in front and walk around and worship. I don't know if my mind always paints the picture. You walking around hostile territory that people trying to kill you. Choir don't carry weapons. They singers. I'm like, yeah, no, you put the troops in front. I don't want to walk around in front singing unless you know you heard. You're first line of defense. If you don't know you heard from God, you can't walk around singing. See, you missed it. If you don't know you heard from God, you can't walk around worshiping for the 6 days. See, those are waiting days. God is putting something into place. He said on the 7 days, the war going to fall. But you got something to do for 6 days. And that 6 days is worship. No, you're still not getting this. Get. Come on, Lord, help them get it. Get Joshua and Caleb and Israel out of your head. Let's make this personal right now. Can we do that?
Yes, sir.
You are Israel. You're comprised of the choir, the warriors, the warriors and the waiters. All in one person. Are you with me? So we're going to battle and we immediately get the weapons and try to go in charging before it's time to go in charging. So we need to call our troops back and send our worship forward. Come on, I'm saying some deep stuff here. We need to, inside of ourselves, pull back the warriors and send the worshipers in us forward first. While God is preparing the walls to fall. We have learned in our anxiety and in not knowing how to rest in everything, because that requires the troops to rest. And the troops in us always want to fight. We don't, come on, you're with me now? We have to learn how to send the worshipers forward first. We got to learn how to pull back the defensive side of us, the combative side of us, even when it comes to the enemy, and make sure enough worship went forward first. Quiet. It's time. So people will want to get you on the phone, and they want to go back and forth, and they want to keep you in that hostile place. Yes. Well, you ain't talking to me like that. I know. Are you hearing the spirit of what I'm saying? Have you ever got a call from a bill collector? Do you notice that they never call nicely? Do you notice they always call you combative? Do you notice that they always call you antagonistic? Do you notice that they're always trying to get you to the place in the spirit where you can't rest because they know that their victory is in frustrating you? They're trained to do that. Why don't you pay your bills? You didn't say hello. Like, you know, I'm going through some stuff. Yeah, well, you got the credit, didn't you? Well, you should have paid your bills. And they do that to put you in a place where you feel so almost defensive, till you feel helpless, because you feel guilty, because you know you didn't pay it, and it's all designed to keep you from hearing. I learned that early. After being frustrated a couple of times, I looked up some law stuff. It was before Google. Gotta love law. I love legal. And I found out some rights I had. So I picked up the phone, and this person came at me. At this time, everybody was coming at me because we was in debt to everybody. We was in debt to oxygen. Everybody was calling. And after I learned what I learned, I picked up the phone, and the person came at me hostile like they do. And I said, I don't have the money right now. And he raised his voice at me. And I said, I don't remember the code now, but I said, do you know according to code such and such, I can make you not call me anymore. You can't make me not call. I said, if I tell you right now that you are not allowed to call me anymore and you can only reach out to me through letter, that's the only way you can do it. Raise your voice one more time, and I will enact that on you, and I know the line is recorded. Well, you should pay your bill. You are not allowed to call me anymore. All of your communication from this point must be in by letter. If you call me again, I'll sue you. I hung up the phone on him. Now, he couldn't frustrate me because I took the time to learn. I knew my rights. In the realm of the spirit, you have rights. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, with principalities, powers, dominions, spiritual wickedness in high places. But then the other place he says, I give you authority over principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You should cast them out. So you have, this is who your fight is with, and this is the authority you have. You want to fight with them, or you want to take the peace place? So there's times I have to sometimes stop and ask God, is my worship ready to go into any kind of battle? Somebody say, is my worship ready? Do you fight before you worship? Is your first weapon that you reach for the battle armor before your worship? Most of us do. And then when we get frustrated, then we go into prayer. When we've done everything we can do and all of the joy has been sapped out of us, then we want to go put on some worship music. I just need to get my peace. And God began to show me, you can rest first before you even reach for a weapon. You can take a nap. Get your strength before you go into the fight. You can send your worship out before you start any other conversation. That's your strength. We could wrap this up right here and send everybody home. God began to show me we spend too much time fighting for things that he gave us.
Yes.
Let's get to the rest of Hebrews chapter 4 and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. We ended on verse 4, I think it was, or 5. Let me see. No, I'm at 6. Because we ended with him saying, because they didn't mix faith with it, they will never enter into my rest. So going into 6, it said, therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them and did not go in because of their disobedience. So now we got a different statement here. He's saying the same thing all over again that he said before. Therefore, since it still remains that some did not enter into that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news, same thing he said before, proclaimed to them, did not go in because of their what? Because of what? Okay, so let's stop on that word real quick. Because the first time he said the very same sentence, he said they didn't go in because of what? Do you remember? You're allowed to sneak up with your eyes and cheat. He said, they did not enter into my rest because of what? It wasn't disobedience before, remember? Thank you. Thank you, Esther. Because the word they heard, they did not mix it with faith. And as a result of that, he promised them in his wrath, they would not enter into his rest. But now, listen to what I'm saying. He said the same sentence, but he changed words. From they did not mix it with faith, to they were disobedient. You didn't catch it, huh? See, when I see God do stuff like that, he's making a correlation with lack of not mixing stuff with faith or believing what he said with disobedience. He's saying it's the same thing. He's saying refusing to rest or to enter into his rest is lack of faith and disobedience. See, people are like, but I don't know if that's the same. What about Romans? Is it Romans 14? It ends with whatever is not of faith is sin? Huh? Whatever is not of faith is sin? He's saying your inability to receive my word and accept it by faith to him is disobedience. No, you're not getting it yet. If God says it's yours, and the devil says it isn't, or circumstance says it isn't, and you believe what the enemy says, or what your flesh says, you are walking in disobedience. Got it? Now, saints, listen to me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all get confronted with these battles. I'm not trying to chew you out for being in disobedience. I'm trying to show you how not to be going forward. If you can spot it and then you know what it is, you can deal with it. Everything that the enemy does is to try to get you at odds with God. The carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy with God. It fights with God. So the enemy's attack will always be through your logic, through your carnal mind, through your emotions. Always will be. You don't have to feel obedient to be obedient. You don't even have to totally agree with the obedience that you're being. Just be it. I can just say, Father, I choose to believe and stand on what I know you've said to me, regardless of my emotions trying to run around and have a fit right now. It's okay to say, as I was saying when I was speaking to Esther and Lindsay this week, I don't want to be disobedient and say I want an earthly king. But I want to be honest and say that I do. And it was such a freedom when I said it that God said, "That you know, you keep forgetting that you can be real with me. I already know. You was the only one wrestling with this. I was sitting up there saying, is he going to say it? You know, he already knew. And so I said, God, I don't know exactly what I want, but I want something like that. And I don't want to call it one thing or the other. You just tell me what it is and I'll do what you say. And so when I woke up this morning and I sat there in prayer and I sat there and breathing and preparing my heart, the truth came to me again, not for the first time, but again. You ever had God bring the truth to you again and again and again and again? The truth that you know, but he just needs to remind you. I find it not grievous to repeat the same things to you, Paul said. I don't get upset with it. I'll say it to you until you get it. The truth came to me again, and that is this. I'm his child with all of my shortcomings. Preparation and planning and everything God did for our lives, there was an allotment or get out of jail free pass for these moments. He knew you would make the mistakes before you make them. He knew that you were imperfect and in what way you were imperfect before you ever realized you were. So with every situation that you come across, God has a contingency plan. Can you accept that? I don't know if you should say that to Christians, Pastor. You know, they're trying to get away with murder. Nobody who loves the Lord is trying to get away with nothing. Everybody here, that, how many of you know you got some shortcomings? How many of you know you got some things you ain't so proud of in yourself? How many of you know God knows it? So because he knows it, he has the plan for you. And how many of you that all raised your hand and said you know these things, like saying, and I'm not trying to find a way to get away with it. See, you ain't trying to get away with it. You want to be free from it. And God knows that. And has a contingency plan for it. Before you were yet in your mother's womb, God made a plan for every mistake you would make. Come on, before you were in your mother's womb, Jesus died for you. Before the foundations of the earth. So he had a plan for all of this. Somebody say it's not as bad as it seems. It's really not. So he said it's disobedience and lack of faith. Not that they're not better Christians, but that they don't rest in the provision that he provided for them. And what was the provision he provided? For you to rest. He asked you to rest, and then he provided the means for you to rest. Just believe that you can rest. How many could use some rest? It's there. It's there. Emotional, spiritual, whatever. It's there. So let's move on. So here's where it gets really interesting. So he said he was disobedient. And they said, and again, he keeps going back to this. Are you watching this? And again, set a certain day, calling it today. This is he, when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I've heard that scripture quoted a lot of times, but I didn't know it was about rest. How many of you have heard that? When you hear the voice, harden not your heart. He is talking about don't harden your heart about resting. Watch. I'm going to prove it. For if Joshua had given them rest, right there it is, right there, right back again, God would not have spoken about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Do you see that this whole chapter is about rest? He keeps going back to this point. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. If you just go through this and count how many times the word rest is there, you would get the idea that God really cares about rest. Watch this. Let me just show you how powerful this is. Just as God did from his. I don't know if you caught that. What did it just say? Even God rested from his own works. Even God rested. There's a saying that church people love to say, and I never liked it, but I got a different appreciation for it right now. The devil is busy. The devil is busy. But we're told if we want to be successful, we need to be busy. You got to work hard, day and night, few hours of sleep, work. Got to work hard. No rest for the weary. You got to work hard. And so God showed me years ago that busyness is a spirit. It's an ungodly spirit. When you're busy, you're never fulfilled and you're never satisfied. You can never do enough, and no matter what you do, it's still not good enough. Even when you complete a task, you can't even enjoy your completion because you always feel that you're incomplete. Accomplish great things in your life. How many of you people, just from going to doing the homework about where are you now, have realized you've accomplished some things in life that you really need to probably pay a little more attention to? Okay, why didn't you pay attention to it? Because you got so much more to do. That's a spirit. You can't even, I see people go to school and they graduate and they get one degree and they're right back and right back. Why? Because they're never enough. It's never enough. God even rested. All right. Just as God did from his. Let us therefore, listen to this, read this with me. Verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Do you see what it said? Do you see what it said? No, it didn't say, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. He didn't say make some effort. I haven't seen too many scriptures where God said make every effort. Make every effort to be holy. I never saw that. He said, be you holy, for thou art holy. Make every effort to rest. How many of us acknowledge, honestly, we don't make every effort to rest. We make every effort to work. We make every effort to figure it out. Listen, prayer is work. The way the church does it, I'm talking about. Prayer is work. Prayer is work. Not only is prayer work, prayer is hard work. From what I learned. Oh, you know, you really want to hear from God. You need to turn your plate down. You need to fast. You need to silence your flesh. You need to open your spirit. You need to, like, let your the Holy Ghost come on you and illuminate you. I'm like, that's a lot of work. I got to do all that to hear from God. That's a lot of work. You ever got tired of praying? See, church people don't want to admit that. You don't want to say that. You ain't never got tired of praying. Especially you get them come from church. Oh, we got to have all night prayer. I don't want to pray all night. But I don't want to go because I don't want them to think I'm the least spiritual one in the church. I remember we had an all-night church one night, and I was down on my knees praying. I looked up, and half of the people were gone. And I said, where's everybody? And they was all in the kitchen getting snacks and eating crackers and stuff. I'm like, we're supposed to be praying. I was like, Jesus, could you not wait with me? And why were we trying to do it all night? Because we thought that that work would move the hand of God. We did. Is somebody getting free? So I had to come to this realization that all of these things that we try to do to make God more God, what's going against his word? So we want to read all these powerful scriptures about binding demons and casting out this and believing and claiming that, and you don't even know how to rest to hear it. And he's showing you that it's all in resting. Can I ask an honest question? Is this foreign still to some of your ears even as I'm speaking it? This whole resting thing? Is there a part of your inside that's still wrestling with this a little bit? Yeah, because that's what you know. That you got to work for it. So Jesus dying on the cross and all that, and is it finished? It really wasn't. He was just kidding. That's a figure of speech when he said it is finished. You still got to do some stuff. Jesus didn't mean that when he said it is done. He didn't mean that. Now you got to work to gain what Jesus did. Only what you do for Christ will last. Well, dang, I do a lot of stuff that's not for Christ. I wake up, I use the bathroom. None of that mean nothing, huh? It is God, I go to sleep. I don't do that for Jesus either. So you walk around looking at your life if you go by these kind of religious statements, and you're bound to want to earn God. Prayer time for me was one of the most frustrating, difficult times in the world because I never wanted to do it. Don't look at me like that. I'm looking at this room right now. I bet you if I ask you how many times you have prayer time a week, unless you're a lie, I guarantee. And if you do pray, you'll pray because you know you're supposed to. But that's work. I've been practicing resting. And I'm finding that in rest, prayer just comes so easy. You feeling me? If you're sitting there just relaxing and just laying back and just letting the presence of God be on you, it just you can't help but just begin to worship. It just comes out of you. When I'm trying to get God to love me and hear me, I'm never happy. Come on, y'all. Am I talking to the wrong church today? I'm praying that you guys get free. I've been stuck on this one message this whole week. I couldn't even get past the first four verses because I kept feeling like, God, they're not hearing me. Talk to God right now and say, Lord, help me hear. Make me hear. Just Lord, help us hear. Help us receive the fullness of it. Help us be free from all the religious junk that has been jammed into our spirits. Father, give us the ability to hear and to be free. And to be free, Lord, I pray freedom right now. Freedom. Freedom from the spirit of works. Teach us to enter into that rest. Hallelujah. Amen? So he says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. So it's perishing now that goes with this disobedience. What disobedience? Not resting. Not receiving. Not accepting the simple love of God. How sad is that? Come on, somebody say, God want me to rest. Say it again. Look at him and say, God, you want me to rest. God. For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows, and judges the thoughts and intents and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him whom we must give
an account. Now, this is where the exchange comes in. Jesus started out his ministry making exchange statements. Some of the stuff that didn't get wound up in the Christian church, realistically. This is used more as a salvation statement, but then a covenant statement. If you want to get saved, it's a you want to get saved statement, but it doesn't speak as a promise or a covenant to us. Did I lose anybody with salvation versus covenant statement? Everybody's on the same page? Come unto me, all you who are, and heavy laden, and I will give you. So right away, Jesus starts his ministry proclaiming rest. He starts his message to us while he's still walking the earth with the promise of rest. Before I read the last verse, I want to get this home to you. Christ came so that you may be saved. We know that. We accept that. Yes? How many saved people up in here? So you know that. No question in your mind that salvation is yours. We just went through a whole chapter and we just opened with Jesus opening the statement saying that he came that you may have rest. Can we believe that rest is ours just as sure as we believe that salvation is ours? If it meant that much to him that we have rest, can we have it? I spent my whole life, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for myself, in pursuit of God. I worked and prayed and studied Hebrew and studied Greek translations, coordinates, and all kind of stuff just to impress God that I was really serious about him. I spent a great deal of my life trying to make God know that I meant business, but never receiving his rest. Never knowing how important his rest is for me and how much it means to him that I have it. I submit to you today that he did not die for you just to, when you leave this earth, go to heaven, which, by the way, is temporary. I love saying that to the church folk because they don't get it. Heaven is not your home. It's a temporary stopping place until Jesus wipes out and throws the enemy and the demons into the pit, and then he comes and he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, and we come back here to a clean heaven and earth and rule and reign here. People, I'm going to spend my eternity in heaven. You're an idiot. It's not true. You're coming back here. He made earth for us. And if he cared that much and cares that much that he's saying like, oh, no, the earth project ain't done. We're going to straighten this out. But in the meantime, with sin came turmoil, it came trouble, it came hardship, and I've come to give you rest. You don't panic like the world does. You don't run around wondering what you're going to do or where you're going to go like the world does. You don't run around trying to figure out how your needs are going to be met like the world does. I give you rest. You find your answers in my rest. I need to get five prayer warriors together and we need to pray and fast and pray for 5 hours. What about just resting? And just letting your worship go forward. Why is everything a sword? How many battles can you fight before you get weary? How many times can you run up against the same wall before you begin to question if God really said it or not? You're refreshed in your rest. That's why you have to sleep every night. In the realm of the spirit, you need to rest. It's important to God that you rest. Come on, all you who are labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. In that rest is salvation. He exchanged. The exchange was, give me that, and I'll give you this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Do you hear this? Jesus, I know what you're going through. You need rest. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Ready? Wait, before I read this last verse, I want your attention one more time. I want to make sure you get it. What was this whole chapter about? Okay, so here's what he's saying now. If you have trouble with that, if you have trouble in the area of works, if you have trouble in suffering and believing and insomnia and frustration and depression and all this kind of stuff, he said, because of that lack of rest, ready? Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, all after rest, all mixed in with rest. And he said, if you have trouble with that, come before the throne of grace and get help. Get the mercy and find the help for every need. I've heard that verse quoted so many times and never associated with it being about a whole chapter about resting. So I was coming before God's throne of grace, frustrated, anxiety, overworked, trying to get God to love me enough to make this chapter work, this verse work, without realizing it was all filtered around me resting. So what did we learn today? What did we gain? How many feel labored and heavy laden? He said, I give you rest. He said, but they didn't receive it because they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't know that rest was an inheritance. See, you didn't hear that. You know how long, are you listening to me? It took for church people to even accept that God wanted them prosperous. When first prosperity people started preaching, they were ostracized by everybody in the church. The church had taught for so many years that God wanted you suffering, and money is the root of all evil, and God don't want you to have nothing, and the devil had sown that to the church so well. You know, of course, people took it and went so far the other way, and they turned it into a Ponzi scheme and all that. I get it. But balance is the key, right? So now, people begin to teach that God wanted you to be prosperous, and he wanted to take care of you, and he's a good God, and they took flack from everywhere. Not because people were just trying to be mean to them, because it went against what they knew and believed as truth. It just, their spirit just couldn't accept that this God, this vengeful, mean God, really cared enough about me and my needs and my finances. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are old enough to remember that. Then they start saying, God wants you healed. And, oh, my God, how dare you say that? God put that disease on people to teach them something. And when people begin to show through the scripture that's not true, they took a lot of flack for that. Then they started talking. You got preachers start rising up talking about, you're saved by his grace. It's not by what? Oh, you are, work out your salvation in trembling and fear. And they take that one verse and made a doctrine out of it. I'm introducing to you today the next level. God's desire, it says, with everything in you, work to enter to, make a first priority, entering into that rest. We just read it. I know it's foreign to your ears, but I read the scriptures and he said rest 50 times. Make the decision now that God wants you to enter into that rest, to do everything the scripture said impossible within you, to enter into that rest. How many receive it? It's yours. It's yours. And if you can't enter into that rest, you won't even enjoy the breakthroughs when you get them, because you won't see them. I spent my whole life in pursuit of things and didn't realize until they stopped putting together the Wikipedia page how many times God did answer my prayers, because I was so caught up in thinking I had to keep working to get something. I didn't even see the breakthroughs when they came. I walked away from a lot of them. So have you. Rest. 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 In Jesus' name, amen.